And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dog Blues.
A very good morning to you as you begin your footy weekend on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. Well, not quite begin your footy weekend, but it's our first program for the year and we're really thrilled to be back and hopefully to be able to provide some joy and some footy information each week while we sit back on our couches and watch lots of classic replays. So sadly it has been a while since we've held up the Premiership Cup. However, your official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues, remain to bring you the best start to your footy weekend on radio today. Your hosts today are myself, John Allen, joined by Blues Wikipedia himself, Chris Brownie, and junior member Jack Allen. Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Jack. How are we all? How are we feeling, Chris?
Hey, I'm up and about. I'm looking forward to whatever Foxtel play today, the Carlton Bulldogs game. I hope it's a Carlton win.
Absolutely. And Jack, how are you finding our isolation at the moment and not being able to go out and have a kick? Are you getting by? I think that pretty much says it all, I reckon. Now, as always on the program today, we are going to look at all AFL and Blues news. We got special live interviews today. It's the one and only Andrew Tex Walker after our first break. Looking forward to that. We cross live to the Hyphen, David Rees-Jones, for his regular segment, The Shirt Front. Latest updates from around the other clubs and sporting organisations around the world. The Weekly Whack. I'm looking forward to that one. And anything else in footy that we can squeeze in the hour. Chris, you know, it is a little bit different at the moment, no footy, but we have amazing sponsors and supporters. Can you just say a few words for those, please?
Yeah, that we do, John. We always need to thank the sponsors, especially with the WA Blues. Major sponsor, Hyundai WA. Platinum sponsors, Allmark and Associates. Tech Tiger, shout out to you, Andy, how you going? Master Picture Framers and the Carlton Football Club home in WA, Empire, at 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlane, where we will be once round two kicks off, whenever that may be.
Cannot wait to get back to the Empire. And a real special shout out to the Empire in particular. All our sponsors, they've been so supportive. But for the Empire, it's just been brutal. I mean, the same evening after we had to tell our supporters that we weren't going to be gathering there, they had to announce that they were shutting their doors. And they'll be back bigger than better than ever when this is all done, whenever that is. But I can tell you they've embraced the whole supporter group thing so much, the Empire, and it broke their hearts. Deb and Jean, who done so much hard work last year for us and for our supporters, they are heartbroken, mate. They're just they can't wait to get back, and so big shout out to them and hope they're feeling okay. Now, it is time for the AFL News headlines, so I'm going to throw over to Jack. Jack, what have we got this week in AFL, mate?
Well, not much, since footy has shut down.
Yep.
But I do have a couple of headlines. Clubs call staff to cope with coronavirus crisis, and AFL and AFL Players Association come to pay agreement after ugly two-week public stoush.
Thanks for that, Jack. And, yeah, the first point there's a really, really interesting one. The all the clubs have had to take massive culls to their staff to be able to cope financially with what's ahead of them, not only for the next 6 months, but moving forward into the next season and everything else. So
it's that soft cap that the AFL want to reduce, which is... I'll talk later, a bit later, but we've had to depart with a few things and a few people and poor Preston Football Club, but we'll go on to that later. But on a couple of positive notes with that, where you saw that both Chris Scott and Alistair Clarkson have foregone their salary to try and help pay other people within the clubs who are doing it tougher than themselves, which was a massive gesture.
That is a massive gesture, and... And probably Clarko can afford it more than others. Yeah, look, yeah, unfortunately, and you'll probably touch on this with the Blues news, Chris, but, you know, Carlton having to part ways with, for now, with their relationship with the Northern Blues, just devastating for everyone. There's no win. There's no feel good about any of this. It has to be done. Everyone understands that from both clubs, but it's just, it's brutal.
It's brutal,
so brutal.
And it will get worse before it gets better, by the sound.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the second point Jack made there in the AFL headlines, obviously the agreement finally struck between the AFL and the AFL Players Association. So the players will take a 50% pay cut up until May 31st, and then 70% pay cut after that if footy doesn't come back. But if footy comes back, they go back to full pay. What do you think about that? Was it fair in the end?
They got hammered on in the media, especially on a few of those football shows, the players. Lee Matthews' comments were a bit... not sure about that. He sort of put a lot of distance between himself, even though he is the AFL Players Award named after himself. He seemed to be pretty brutal on them. Look, everyone has to take a pay cut. Everyone has to do the right thing in these times. Without all the facts, I can't judge. But it seems reasonable. They've been paid 4 months already, the players. But it seems reasonable they're taking that cut. And also, too, if no games come on, they go to 70%.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And, look, I felt like Caroline Wilson, and I don't agree with her very often, but I thought that what she had to say really resonated, especially you know, Jack Riewoldt being the mouthpiece of it all, but he was reflecting on what the players, or maybe being a little bit scripted by Paul Marsh, I don't know, but... I just thought that they didn't really have a grasp of what was going on out there in the community, and I'm glad they did come to some agreement before it got uglier, because the last 2 weeks was just ugly for the players more than anyone else.
Yeah, the media did paint the players as the bad guys and the league as the silver light, but in this day and age, we need to try and save this competition when it actually gets back and running.
That's right, 100%. Now, look, Chris, what have we got in Blues news? Injuries, obviously, Cruz is a big one there. Milestone updates, we're not going to discuss that too much, but Blues news, mate, what have we got?
Well, I want to start on the positive. Membership is at a record high of 65,000 plus. So well done to all those who have signed up to be a Blues member for 2020. Not sure when the next game's going to be, but well done. All the players are on this forced break and are at home self-isolating. I would assume keeping up some sort of fitness program designed by Andrew Russell. As touched on earlier, John, Carlton did end the alignment with the Northern Blues. The Blues were pretty devastated to make the decision as the alignment was stronger than ever. But as mentioned earlier, due to the AFL introducing that soft cap, there was no other option, and both coach Josh Fraser and general manager Ben Brennan have parted company. And if there is a VFL when we start up, we will field a standalone team. It was pretty devastating for the old Preston Football Club, who's 138 years old, who had to shut up shop after this announcement. One thing, though, from me being an old Melbourne guy, Preston, back in my day, they were the feeder club for Collingwood.
I'm sort of a bit torn there, so, but it's still sad to see a club like that shut shop. You mentioned injuries. I'll go through them very quickly for you. Matty Cruiser, which was terrible, sustained a fracture of the fifth metatarsal bone in the foot, if anyone wants to know, while competing a ruck contest in the first quarter against the Tigers. Matthew has had surgery. He'll be out of action between 12 to 16 weeks. Charlie's knee, we know, still in rehab. Harry McKay, groin. Caleb Marchbank, knee. Eddie Betts, the old calf, the old man injury, 3 to 4 weeks. But we should have a full list and available when we come back for round two.
Thanks, Chris. And, mate, the phone has been going off.
Because we weren't on properly.
Text messages. Look, just to let everyone know, we didn't have the Masters show before us. There was no show before us. A bit of a cluster today. The studio is very different. We've got new protocols here with hygiene. Can't have as many people in the studio. And it turns out that only my mic had the volume turned up.
That's it, yep.
So, for the poor listeners out there, all they could hear was my dulcet tones. And so just a quick rundown and update. The AFL news headlines we ran through was just in regards to the AFL Players Association and AFL Stoush, the agreement finally coming. And the, what was the other one there, Jack? What was the other headline you had for us?
The reduction in the soft cap.
The reduction in the soft cap, the clubs having to cull their... their staff, change their relationships with their VFL clubs, and all the brutality of the financial decisions there that had to be made. So, yeah, thanks very much for that, Jack. Unfortunately, the listeners didn't get to hear it. I'm going to throw it to Chris.
I need to give a big shout-out here. The AFLW, the girls won through to the preliminary final with a great win over the Lions, which I'll review later. Maddie Press-Barkas and Taylor Harris were named in the AFLW Team of the Year. And the AFLW Player of the Year was a three-way tie between Maddie Press-Barkas, Karen Paxman of Melbourne and Jasmine Garner of North. They all polled 13 votes based on the 3-2-1 voting system. And all three polled in five of the six games. So a big congratulations to Maddie Press-Barkas on another great year. And while I'm on a roll, I've been hearing Frio calling out for them to be handed the Premiership Cup because they were undefeated. Well, there was an interview with Chloe Malloy in the Herald Sun, I think it was Wednesday, and she said that she didn't believe Freo were the best team in the league. In the first three rounds, they didn't have to leave WA, and they were still yet to play Melbourne and Carlton, and in her words, Carlton were probably the best team of that year. So, Freo, put a sock in it.
Yeah, absolutely, and not very often we get praise from a Collingwood a player, so great to hear that honesty. Well done, Chloe, and well done to the Blues girls. They were fantastic, and it wasn't just Maddie. The new girls that came into that side, they were really starting to take off, and of course...
Grace Egan.
WA Blues-sponsored player Grace Egan's having an absolute ripper, and... It's just horrible for them as well. But you know what? We'll keep it positive because they will be back, and they'll be so determined, all of these sides, the men's teams, the women's teams. Geez, the determination is going to be off the charts, and they're going to be hanging for a kick of the footy.
Geez, and the standard just went up another level this year.
Absolutely. Now, WA Blues events, we're not going to be having any of those until further notice, so I won't mention too much about that, obviously. Now... Before we go to a break, I just want to play a couple of minutes. Now, we would have been playing the Western Bulldogs this week. And last year, our first win was in round five against the Western Bulldogs. And we actually kicked 100 points in that game as well. Now, the great thing about that game was it'll be remembered, and it was spoken a lot about it being Samo's breakout game. Samo Petroski-Seaton with 35 touches. Sensational game, goals, speckies. He did it all in that game. So what we're going to do is just play the last two. It's not the actual last 2 minutes of the game, but it's the highlights of the last quarter. And just want you to listen to that. And listen, there's some great commentary there and great memories.
For some run through the wing, that's a horrible kick. Newman cuts it off. McLean, two really bad kicks in a row. One that turns it over. One that was a miss shot at goal from 35. And now Casbolt can make them pay. In he comes. We could get anything here. In he struts. She's kicked it well. He has crushed that. And they're nearly there, the Blues. Nearly there. Time is of the essence for them now. He sits that up a little. Hunter! Big grab.
You don't expect that. And we worry, we wonder why Carlton can't kick 100 points. They haven't for 59 consecutive matches. They're two goals away from doing it. That would have been one. You can't waste those opportunities.
Fisher trying to get that 100. Young. Gower's in the pocket. Floats toward him and McGovern got there late. Front on contact. Free kick. Gowers in the meantime squeezed it home for a late consolation prize.
I think you're the only Carlton person here that really cares, Jason. You're listening to Carlton now.
The nightmare is finally over. Dow goes inside, outside of the boot. Oh, there's a ton! There's the ton! And the camp does it on cue with the last kick of the game.
Before we go to the break, how about that roar when Paddy Dow kicked that last goal to give us 100 points? Time to go for a commercial break. We'll be right back.
Perth Window and Door Replacement Company remain your prestige conversions and replacement specialists since 1983. With an extensive range of products and services, they pride themselves on their ability to tailor solutions to your individual requests. Not just proud supporters of the Mighty Blues, they are respected members of the Australian Glass and Window Association, ready to serve you with the highest standards and integrity. So for your next sliding, bifold, French, awning, security screen, doors or windows, trust only Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Station sponsor.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. Tech Tiger can help. For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au. Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave. Print. Identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
With over 20 years of experience, Laird Blair Buckingham, your master framer, helped make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. A display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2020 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers, Cannington. Come see us today.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back to the program, and of course to your best start to the footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. You're hosted today by the WA Blues, listening to John, Chris and Jack. And we've got a very special guest on the line right now. It's time to cross live to the man who took the actual mark of the century.
That he did.
A club man of the highest order who represented the Navy Blues and thrilled football lovers universally from 2004 to 2016 for 202 games, 139 goals. Tex, a very good morning and welcome back in 2020 to Breakfast with the Blues. How are you going there?
I'm very well, thanks, guys. You're saying it was mark of the century. I didn't even get mark of the year. I was robbed.
You were definitely robbed, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Andrew Cracker's a cracking bloke, but yeah, nah, robbed.
Robbed.
Glad you guys agree with me.
Yep. Good morning, Andrew. It's Chris Browning here. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
Very well. Mate, I'm going to go right back to the start, Andrew. You were taken as a priority pick number two by the Blues in the 2003 draft after the club was stripped of early draft picks. You made your debut as a 17-year-old in Round 5 2004 at Optus Oval with a win over the West Coast Budgies. You amassed 26 disposals, assisted in 3 goals, and nearly took mark of the year while sitting on the head of Andrew Emily on the Press Club wing. What are your memories of that day?
Yeah, it's really strange. It is a long time ago and all those things, but one of those games that you can actually remember most things that happen. I had a lot of things go... a lot of pros and cons throughout my career, but you'll never ever, and I reckon if you spoke to most AFL footballers, you never forget that first game. And for me, I was fortunate. It was, the home of the Navy Blues, and we're playing against, a strong West Coast outfit. And, we're fortunate enough to get over the line. And at the end of the day, I was fortunate enough to be running along the wing and just having one of those sorts of days where I couldn't escape the footy.
Yeah, mate, it must have been a bit of a bittersweet moment for you, though. As a 17-year-old, it was only days before that your poor grandfather passed away before that debut. That must have been a bittersweet moment for you.
Yeah, it was. It was a bit of an interrupted week, and my grandfather was... his funeral was back home in Echuca, so I'd headed home, I think it was on a Wednesday, and stayed the night back in Echuca, drove back Thursday, normal prep on the Friday, then into the game, so... It was an interrupted sort of pre-game build-up. But one thing that always sticks in my mind is, and I'll be forever grateful for the Carlton Football Club doing this, was basically gave me a room that seats about 60 people, and I invited all my family. My mum's one of 12 kids, so we invited all the cousins and the aunties and uncles to that game, and we filled that room, and we actually had a fantastic day on the back of a pretty sad week.
Yeah. Andrew, I've got a very special guest in the studio today. He's got a question for you. Jack's one of our young members. He's 9 years old. We're trying to spread joy to all the supporters and the kids who follow the Blues here in WA as well. So I'm going to throw it over to Jack for a question. Off you go, Jack.
Good morning, Tex.
G'day, how you going?
Very good, thanks. You have young
That's
kids.
That's right.
You have young kids like me, and life for us is going to start getting pretty boring as we lock down. No school or footy clubs and other activities. What plans do you have to keep your family from going crazy?
That is a great question. I've got three kids. One's 12 years of age, one's 9, and I've got a little girl who's 4. My two older boys are football crazy, and being locked up in the house, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the doorways as goals. So we'll do some goal-kicking competition, but I'm also going to have a paintbrush and a thing of paint. So if they mark any of my walls, as a bit of extra fitness, they have to repaint the walls after they're finished.
That's actually a fantastic idea, and it's planted a seed there. I think I'm going to go around and just start marking up the walls and handing out paintbrushes. room by room, they'll go.
It'll be like the old days when I was a kid where you had to just use the roll of socks and just try to snap through the doorways, et cetera, et cetera. That's what
Yeah, absolutely.
Do.
It's not a bad way to do it.
Yeah.
Now, Tex said it wouldn't be poignant of me to not have a chat with you and not ask you about that moment in time where you were able to count the flakes of dandruff on the top of Jake Carlisle's head at that wonderful game, and then go back and slot the goal from the boundary. Take us through that, mate, that wonderful night when you touched the clouds, took the actual mark of the year. What, just for the listeners out there, what does it feel like? I mean, I played centre-half back and elbowed people in the back of the head most of my career. I didn't get about 2 inches off the ground. What does it feel like to get up there, mate? Is it scary? Is it great? And are you worried about injuring yourself when you get back down? And that mark in particular, mate, how was it?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you said that about defenders doing that, because I've been playing on Jake Carlisle all day, and I'm more of a runner and, you know, try and use my athleticism to beat opponents, and Jake Carlisle's a big brute who uses his elbows and puts them in the back of your head and tries to defeat you that way, which is not a bad strategy. To be honest, it was one of those days where Carlton were well up on top, and when you know your teammates as well as you do after you play a lot of football, I still remember Mitch Robinson grabbing that ball, and at that stage, Brett Ratton had given him clear instructions to stop trying to pinpoint short passes and use your strength to kick the ball long. So I just remember when Mitch picked it up, I knew he was going to be going long, so instead of darting back up at it, I started heading back towards the goal square, and as all good defenders do, they sit in front of you and try and play from the front, and Jake Carlisle was a sitting duck that day, and I got up there, started counting the dandruff on his head, like you said, and was fortunate enough to clunk the mark. So, yeah, I was just in the right place at the right time.
Sensational.
But 2011, Andrew, when you took that mark, that was probably, would you say, your best year at Carlton? You predominantly played as a key forward. You played every game. You kicked 56 goals. You were the club leading goal kicker. And you finished, I think it was 6th in the best and fairest. Would you say that was probably one of your most consistent or better years at the club?
Yeah, I thought I had a few good years. I was, and when people say, he was plagued with injuries and those sorts of things, yes, I was, but it was sort of they're self-inflicted things, really. Like, you go so hard at pre-season, and I had shoulders, I had joints, but they were more so injuries that were caused by myself, and I just wish I had a really good run at it. That's one thing I always look back on my career and say, I just wish I had a much better run at it, and with all those little injuries I had along the way, talking 5 shoulder reconstructions, 5 knee surgeries as probably the two main issues. I just felt that when I had a really good run at it, being probably the 2000 and I think it was 2008 season where I was tagging for Paygo.
Yep.
I did a lot of tagging and, you know, went on, you know, Shane Crawford and a few of these other really good midfielders and felt I held my own for that season. My 2011 season as that key forward, I thought was probably one of my more consistent years. My 2013 year as a halfback flanker, I thought was probably my best year. Just able to see the game in front of me, and that's sort of how I think I played my best football, was just being able to see the game in front of me. So that halfback role in 2013 was where I saw I played my best footy.
And what about when you retired from the AFL? You did go back to your hometown. Did you play a bit of footy for Echuca again?
Yeah, I've been out of the AFL now for 3 years. I played 1 year at West Preston Roosters.
The old West Preston.
Had a runner-up best and fairest year that year, and then I've been back in Echuca, and we got to a grand final for the first time since 2003 last year. I had a best and fairest year and a league runner-up best and fairest year as well, so I feel like I'm starting to play pretty good footy again, to be honest.
Not bad for an old fella, mate.
Old at 34, it's scary, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Old at 34, geez, I wish I was 34 again. Well, I just got a text from the missus, Chris. She's deflated all the footballs in the house and changed the locks. But, funnily enough, she's gone to Bunnings to buy some more paintbrushes.
Mate, I told you, the socks. It's the socks, mate. Roll them up. Use the socks. Hey, Andrew, just very quickly, just for our listeners, when you first did come to the club was sort of down on its knees, and we'd finished down the bottom for the first time ever in the history, and we've got the AFL back then killed us with fines, etc., etc. What was it like actually coming into the club at that time, and then later on years to come when we had a bit of success? What was it like, mate?
To be quite honest, it was when I walked into the AFL, it nearly felt, I know it's a professional sport, but it really felt semi-professional. Carlton were, at that stage in 2004, a long way behind. Our facilities were a long way behind. We'd had all the big fines.
Yeah.
Everyone was sort of expecting us not to go very well, and that's the feel that was around the club, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But it was amazing that once we started to get some different personnel, we got a big injection of money coming to the club to help out with the facilities. Amazing what happens when the surrounds around the players themselves change, how much the players change themselves. We turned into a much more professional outfit. We had guys like Chris Judd wanting to come to the football club. And around, I guess, that recruitment, a lot of our players grew in confidence and grew their knowledge of what it was like to be a professional athlete. And I reckon our performances started to show later on in my career.
Yeah, fair enough. Yep.
Nice work. Tex, we just about got to wrap it up there, mate. On behalf of all the supporters, mate, really appreciate you coming on today. We made the decision to keep this radio program going during footy season. We feel it's a really important platform to get out to the Carlton supporters, not just in WA, but the people who listen through the app around Australia. Give them a bit of joy, and to have someone like Andrew Tex Walker come on and for people to enjoy that each week, it's really important. So thank you very much on behalf of everyone for giving up your time today. And before you go, is there a message that you'd like to give out there to the supporters during this time to just keep them hanging in there and looking forward to when football does come back?
Yeah, I think so. I reckon, you know, the players are hurting as much as everyone else with what's going on at the minute. It's a really tough time, and I think it's to stay banded together and make sure that all supporters out there know that if they are messaging, you know, all their Carlton heroes on social streams, that it doesn't go unnoticed. I've caught up with a lot of the boys recently just for, you know, just over conversations over the phone and, you know, and even to myself. I've been retired for 4 or 5 years and you're getting a lot of messages coming through on social streams. I think it's really important to keep that line of communication going with their favourite players because they're sitting at home wanting to get out there and they're really eager to play football. And it's great to know that you've got support there waiting for you to play footy. So for all the supporters out there, keep staying in contact with all your superstar Carlton players that are currently playing and give them a lot of support, and I'm sure that they'll respond back.
Well said, Tex. Thanks very much. Mate, again, thanks very much. Going to say goodbye now, Jack. Say goodbye.
Bye.
See you, Jack. How's it going, mate?
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks very much, mate.
All right.
Thanks very much, mate. Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues.
He was a superstar, that guy.
He was an absolute superstar. Yeah. And like I... we're having a good start today. Like I mentioned, he didn't just thrill Carlton supporters. He thrilled football supporters universally on his best days. He was an absolute champion of a footballer. Moving right along, I'd just like to actually plug some CFC memberships. Now, I know it's a strange time and a strange time to be asking people to buy memberships. It's not something we can push because we know that people are doing it tough out there, and even $20 is $20 out there at the moment. So, but for anyone out there who's a Blues supporter that hasn't bought a membership and has it within their means to do so, if you want to support the club at the moment, right now, and lift the players and lift all the staff that have been put on hold and that will be coming back when things are good again, and try and give them some hope and some motivation and some joy, why don't you buy a Carlton membership? They start from $60. Be a believer. Be a Blue believer. Get a membership. Like I say, we can't push it too much, but if it's in your means, it's a great way to support the club, players, staff, everyone at the moment. What do you say, Chris?
Totally agree. Me, I have five people in my family that I buy a membership for every year. I have two reserved seats for every home game in Carlton. And when do I go over to Melbourne? So,
So those two reserved seats, can I borrow those and come and sit on your couch? Yeah. Oh, no, we're not allowed to do that
anymore. No, we can't even do it. So long as we sit 1.5 metres apart, not a problem.
Right, can we get like those long claw things for passing the beer and stuff as well?
We can do that. And while you're at Bunnings getting the paint, get some picket fences. We'll paint them. We'll just put them in front, make us look like we're at the footy.
very good. And look, while we've got a couple of minutes, again, thanks, Andrew Walker. Great interview. We would like to take this moment to, again, to thank our sponsors. Okay, and again, I just can't reiterate enough the Empire. When everything's back on track and the Empire open their doors and we have our first event, we want to see every Blue bagger that can get there with no excuse to fill that place to watch the Blues on that big screen outdoors, because they're just going to need that love and we're going to have to give it to them, all right? So
We'll be there.
And meanwhile, for any of you at the moment might be needing web and tech support, Andy Jones at Tech Tiger, he is your man. He is the man to get in contact with at the moment. So a lot of people working from home, a lot of people trying to figure out how that's all going to work, target marketing, everything else. I'm telling you, Andy Jones is your man. He, have a look at our website. He's just done our website up, unfortunately, just before all this crisis happened. We launched a new website. It's sensational. Have a look at his work. Go on to www.wablues.com. Have a look at our website. That's Andy's creation, and it is just, it's interactive, it's sensational, it's dynamic, it's everything that we wanted it to be and more. He's a brilliant man. Allmark for all your engraving needs, shirts, apparel, banners, anything like that. Looking forward into the future when you get up and running again, or any of your needs now, he is your man. He can take any orders. He's still up and running. And of course, Blair and Maria Buckingham, we can't thank them enough for all the amazing framing and the work that they do for us for our memorabilia and signed jumpers. And they are still up and running, folks, at the moment. So at any time, if you can support them, please do so. We have got a new guy you would have noticed in the ads, Raf Barbaro from the Butchers out there. They've come on board as a radio sponsor. Raf is a mad Carlton man, so big shout out to Raf. He's a mate of Scotty Wright's at Allmark's, and through those channels, it's he come on board and wanted to get an ad on the show. So he's supporting us as well. And, mate, these guys out in the community, Butchers, Bakers, Candlestick Makers, get out there and support them.
Yeah, we have to support everyone in these times. Just remember, good Aussie saying, you've got to support your mate.
Absolutely. Now, we'll throw over to another break. Meanwhile, Blue Baggers, when we come back, I'm just so excited about this. I've missed this bloke like you wouldn't believe. And he's going to be online after the ad, and, of course, is none other than Mr. David Rhys-Jones. Go Blues.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
With over 20 years of experience, Laird Blair Buckingham, your master framer, helped make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you're looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. A display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2020 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers, Cannington. Come see us today.
Station sponsor. Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. Tech Tiger can help. For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au. Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
Perth Window and Door Replacement Company remain your prestige conversions and replacement specialists since 1983. With an extensive range of products and services, they pride themselves on their ability to tailor solutions to your individual requests. Not just proud supporters of the Mighty Blues, they are respected members of the Australian Glass and Window Association, ready to serve you with the highest standards and integrity. So for your next sliding, bifold, French, awning, security screen, doors or windows, trust only Perth Window and Door Replacement Company. Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Cold Dark Blues.
Welcome back, Blue Baggers. While we're trying to get David on the line, I'll just give a quick rundown of the AFLW preliminary final that took place Sunday week ago. Well, on the back of an emphatic second half, the Blues emerged with a 29-point win over the Lions. It was a lively start at Icon Park, with Brisbane mounting a relentless attack early. It opened the game with the first six inside 50s. The Lions took advantage of their strong start-up forward, notching the first goal of the semi-final, but the responses come quickly from a fired-up Blues attack, with Taylor Harris getting one on the board after being the beneficiary of a downfield free kick. From there, Carlton began to get back on top through the centre, but continuous Brisbane forward 50 entries saw them poke their noses ahead at quarter time. It didn't take the Blues long to hit their stride in the second. With barely 3 minutes gone in the term, Darcy Vesio staked her claim with the Blues' second major. From then on, Carlton was able to lock the ball in the 50 and going up by a short margin at half time. Carlton continued its ascendancy after the main break, surging ahead of Brisbane in the inside 50 count as the quarter wore on. It wouldn't be until the 9-minute mark that the Blues got true reward of effort. The 6 points come from Georgia G after a brilliant chase down tackle, giving the Blues confidence they needed towards the end of the term and going ahead with a 15-point lead. Proving herself as the hero of the semi-final, G again bobbed up in the fourth term to earn a third goal for the day, as with many of their performances throughout the home and away seasons. The Blues went from strength to strength as the game wore on. At the end, the Blues went away with a great win and unfortunately won't be able to play the preliminary final due to the current situations with the coronavirus. Best on ground for the Blues was Harrington, Pound, Dalton, Presbarkers and Moody, and of course Georgia G, who played one of her best games. Goals G3 and singles to Harris, McAvoy and Vesio. Great, well done girls, an excellent game.
Nice work there, Chris. And mate, guess what? I got him.
You got the hype.
I got him. Oh, I got the hype. Now, thanks for that, guys. Sorry about the slight delay there in getting the great man on, but it is time now to give a very warm welcome, as always, to our great mate here at Breakfast with the Blues for 2020 for the first time. 1987, Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, and the man who personifies everything that bleeding blue means. As we barrel shoulder first into the shirt front, I speak, of course, of none other than the hyphen, Mr. David Rees-Jones. Dave, how are you going today, mate?
Yeah, very good, guys. How's it all going? It's a bloody
weird world out there at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah,
we're certainly testing the patience of a lot of people at the moment.
It is, and that's exactly why we're here, and that's exactly why we really appreciate you coming on again today, and hopefully for the next 25 weeks, mate, because we're trying to provide a bit of joy and a bit of support for all the Carlton supporters out there, and anyone who misses footy who likes to listen into us, not just in WA, but on the app around Australia. So thanks for coming back for 2020, mate. It means the world and will mean the world to a lot of people out there. So great stuff there. Now,
no problems, guys. I just wish they had delayed the start of the season. I would have rather taken on Richmond with Charlie and Harry and Eddie in the team, and I reckon we might have given it a bit of a shake. But anyway, not to be.
Yeah, agree with that.
Well, maybe when we come back and Charlie's recovered and ready to go, we just might barnstorm this competition, hopefully, in about 5 or 6 months' time. Let's see what happens there.
We did mention earlier, David, that we'll have a full list to pick from when round two is up and running.
I think everyone will. It's just a matter of... it's going to be interesting. I know the guys keep themselves in good nick, and there's a picture of Cade Simpson in the paper yesterday over here, so doing a bit of work and having a kick at Josh's paddock. So I think most of them will keep themselves in reasonable shape, but it's going to be, it's just not the same as being down the club and going through your normal routines and that. So, and some guys will be obviously more disciplined than others, so you never know what can come out of the end of it.
Well, look, I've taken a few steps to make sure that we are fully fit. I went over for the season launch, which was lucky that I managed to get to do that and mingle with the players and everything. And while I was there, I went to Charlie's apartment and I deflated his basketball and put some non-slip surface on his tile. So we should be okay, I reckon, in a few months.
Hey, David, just touching on that about the players and they're trying to keep fit, et cetera, how long, if they say, like, this dreaded virus goes away and they say the season's going to start in June, how long do they need to actually get match fit before they can actually play a game?
Well, from what I gather, they're really going to have to go straight back into it. You know, I mean, the matches have got to start as soon as possible, as soon as they can let them. So there's going to be, you know, a little bit of rustiness, I reckon, from every team. You know, if you're not training together over a period of time and you sort of get thrown back. I mean, they know each other pretty well and everything along those lines, but it's just that, you know, the continual training and that gets you, you know, gets you to your peak fitness and obviously not, you know, no body on body. That takes a while too, you know, to sort of ride those bumps and get through the bruises and the physical side of it as well.
Yeah. Now, Dave, it was only a week ago, but it seems like an age ago with the way times are going at the moment. But we did play round one against the Tigers. Did you watch the game? Did you have a chance to sort of dissect what you thought of it? Obviously, it was a horrible start. And we started coming back into it in that second quarter, and the second half was ours, really. It was... Just signs again. We're sick of saying it, but and then it gets taken away from us for the rest of the year or however long.
You know, even early, I mean, we're getting the ball into our forward line, but and that's where, you know, those three names I mentioned before, Harry, Charlie, and Eddie would have been invaluable. You know, in those, you know, in that first 5 minutes, we were sort of pushing the ball into our forward line a fair bit, and we're on top of Richmond, but. But look, they had Rewalt and Lynch and down forward, so they had some good targets down there, and you know, we seem to be bombing the ball in without any real purpose. So it made life a little bit easier for the Richmond back line, especially early in the game. But after quarter time, I think we outscored them after that, so it was a pretty good effort. But you could also see that you know, when Richmond had to get a goal or they had to do something, they put the foot on the pedal and. Look, they're a quality team, and you know, they've won two of the last three grand finals. So, you know, that speaks for itself. But we're not that far away from it. Not that far away. But wasn't it weird just watching a game without spectators? I really did struggle to you know, get the real feel of the game just by. You know, just it was just a weird thing to watch, to be honest.
It was listening to every call from the players out there was it was just like going down to Icon and watching the training. But even louder because of the echo around the ground. It was bizarre listening to that.
It was very, very strange. Hey, David, mate, Levi was brilliant when Big Cruiser went down. He stood up magnificently. And also the debut of Jack Martin, Jacob Wiedering holding Big Lynch.
Lynch, goalless.
Jack Nunes as well. He impressed on a wing. So there was some good positives that come out of that.
Yeah, there was. And you know, besides that first quarter where Richmond really did get on top of us, you know, I thought we matched them pretty well after that. But, you know, the game was sort of over by then. But, and as I said, you know, Richmond were able to, they were able to just get goals at will when they needed to when we started coming back at them towards the end. So, but that young kid Martin, he was one of the most talented kids coming through the system of all time. And just, I don't know, you know, some just don't find their way for a little way, but hopefully he's knuckled down and got his head right, and that's half the battle. Get your head right, and the other things will follow. So, yeah, he looks great. So, and you mentioned Levi there. You know, he did look a little bit all at sea in the first quarter, playing down forward. And I enjoyed watching him play back last. You know, I think you know a little bit of time in the back line and that ruckman role sort of suits him a bit. Bit better than his forward sort of craft, I think, at the moment.
Yeah, how many headaches did Jack Martin cause? That might have been the best game of AFL he played. He was so dominant whenever the ball was near him or around him, positioning, and when the ball was in his hands, I mean, just they had no answers. So that was fantastic. Now, Hive, I've got a special guest in the studio today. I mean, like I said, we have been trying to... The idea of keeping this show going is to create a bit of joy and support for everyone out there, including the young kids that follow the Blues here in WA and around Australia. So I've got Jack in the studio today, 9 years old, Carlton member, and he's got a question for you. So over to you, Jack.
Good morning, Hyphen.
How are you, Jack?
Pretty good.
I hope you're all a metre and a half apart in there, are you? Don't get too close to those guys. Away you go, Jack.
What message can you pass on to all young Blue members out there to keep hanging on in these times and look forward to watching the Blues again soon?
Yeah, look, it's tough. It really is tough for, you know, we've got a generation of Carlton supporters who haven't seen much success at all. So it can be tough, but I think... you know, once you've got a footy club, you follow them through thick and thin, and the good times will certainly turn around. You even look at Richmond; they have a 37-year drought, so it sort of can come around. So you just got to stick fat, wear that navy blue jumper with pride, and the guys will turn around.
He's actually got it on as he's sitting in the studio, David.
I'm sure he's wearing it with pride, yeah.
And it's got the number 9 on the back, and it's signed by Patrick Cripps, his favourite player. So I'll tell you what, over here in the West, mate, we are hanging in there, and we will all the way. So
and look, and great West Australian Paddy Cripps too. What a superstar he is.
Yeah, absolute champion.
Do you think, though, I just want to go back to that last Thursday game, and you talked about Cripper. And in that first quarter when they blew us away, they just continually beat us at the centre and around the stoppages with those, again, bigger-bodied midfielders, more games, etc., etc. It stood out again that we just need another big-bodied midfielder to help Cripper around those stoppages.
Yeah, look, we've got a bit of quality in there. I mean, and we've got some kids in there who are only going to get better too, and we need to persist with them. You know, Paddy Dow, I thought, you know, he had a reasonable game. You know, his kicking seems to have improved a little bit as well this year. So, you know, he's another kid who I reckon just with a little bit of confidence. I don't know what it is with him, but I could see him sort of quite quickly taking his game to the next level as well. And, you know, confidence plays a big part in sport, and maybe that's something he needs to, you know, start believing in himself a little bit more. But and he goes in hard. You know, we've still got Murph in there. He's you know, gives us a bit of experience and class in there. Yeah, but as you say, you know, obviously Richmond are one of the dominant midfields in the entire competition, and we come up against them. So, you know, we're looking at that first game and you know, sort of picturing it into, you know, the best. That's who we played. We played the best team and didn't disgrace ourselves.
Just one more quick comment in there as well. Let's not forget Setterfield's only played 20 games. We recruited him in rehab from a knee recon. He started just showing what he can do last year. We're not going to see much of what he can do this year, but he will be there. He's the future. We've got a lot of players for the future that they are going to come good, and some big bodies in there as well. And who knows, when Harry McKay, Charlie Curnow and Eddie Betts are back in that team, it's going to push some guys out of the forward line and maybe push someone like Jack Silvani into the middle using his body, because he's a man in good form, and he's a good tackler as well, good defensive player. So maybe Ed Curnow type role and that. And there's a lot of options there. We just got to get that bit of depth happening with injuries. Mate, we do have to go, though. Again, on behalf of all the supporters out there, whether they're listening on 91.3 Sport FM here in WA or through the MyTuner app around Australia, thanks very much, mate. You're going to give a lot of support and joy to supporters out there, and we look forward to talking to you again next week about all things footy and Blues.
No worries, guys. Yeah, have a good week, and let's hope we start containing this coronavirus. That's going to be the major worry for the next little while. And as always, go Blues.
Thanks, David.
Go Blues. The Blues.
Always good, David. Always concise and always on the mark when he talks about what happens to the game.
Absolutely, and always a very attractive head on the radio is the hyphen. So thanks very much for that. Now, guys, just in respect to raffles, we obviously everybody just loves and looks forward to getting down to the Empire and chancing their arm at buying a raffle ticket and winning some amazing memorabilia. I've got some updates on that in regards to what we're going to be doing this year now, so I'm going to throw it over to Chris and he'll tell you all about it.
Well, what we're going to do, we're going to set up some online raffles. Very similar to most of you guys out there, if you follow the social media and you see what the Cheer Squad does. We'll have different raffles, signed, framed Guernseys. We'll set it up. We'll reach out to you on social media. But we'll probably, I'm not sure the frequency of them, but we'll have them regularly throughout this stay-at-home period of time so you can all get involved. Again, we're setting up where you'll be able to securely pay for your raffle tickets, etc., etc. But we'll come out social media very shortly with all the details, so stay tuned.
So a little bit of an update on that, Chris. What we are going to do is a monthly raffle. Okay, so we're not going to do the second and third prizes like we used to have, the $50 bar card from the Empire stuff. So we're not doing that. It's too complicated at the moment. But what we have got is we've got a dozen signed framed pieces that we've decided to keep going ahead and get them made up. They're going to be in storage at my house. Once I've got them all, I'll put them around in the living room and take a video so everyone can see all the jumpers we got. And we're going to do one a month, and we're going to do a season raffle still. So the season raffle, we've got other sponsors that are still doing their prizes. And so that'll be $10 a ticket for the season raffle, and there'll be an amazing frame piece for that, plus $200 of meat, $200 from the Empire, $200 second, third, fourth prizes. There's all this stuff there, but the monthly raffle will be, again, just a big, nice framed signed jumper with AFL Certificate of Authenticity. We have got a couple of other jumpers that don't have the certificates. These are ones that we got signed last year by Sid Jackson.
Oh, yes.
We got one that was signed thanks to the Queensland supporter group, Risto Kerlick, the godfather, the great man, for organising Mitch McGovern's signature on a number 11 jumper. And we've also we've sent some jumpers, one off to Kenny Hunter, one to Anthony Koutafidis, and one to the Hyphen himself. So we're expecting them back soon in the mail, and we'll get them framed up as well. So we're going to have options all over the place and amazing raffles, but we're going to give people a month to buy those tickets and to enjoy having a chance of winning those so that everyone can have a go.
That Kuta one looked amazing. That was going to be raffled the first game.
That will be the first monthly raffle. That's going to be our April raffle, that Kuta piece, and that is worth
Yep.
Well, it's you can't put a dollar figure on it if you're a Blues fan.
Correct.
What that
correct,
is correct. Worth, signed by the great man himself. Yep. So just look out for the Facebook page and the website, www.wablues.com. I always have trouble spitting that one out. Twitter and Instagram, there'll be heaps of info on the raffles out there. And guys, footy might not be in play at the moment, but it doesn't mean it's over. We're going to be here every Saturday from 9 till 10, give you as much info, have some fun, and go Blues.
Go Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the fans.